Whilst I was looking at the books, the door opened, and the Count entered. He saluted me in a hearty way, and hoped that I had had a good night's rest. Then he went on, "I'm glad you found your way in here, for I'm sure there is much that will interest you. These companions," and he laid his hand on some of the books, "have been good friends to me. And for some years past, ever since I had the idea of going to London, have given me many, many hours of pleasure. Through them I have come to know your great England, and to know her is to love her. I long to go through the crowded streets of your mighty London, to be in the midst of the whirl and rush of humanity, to share its life, its change, its death, and all that makes it what it is. But alas, as yet I only know your tongue through books. To you, my friend, I look that I know it to speak." "But, Count," I said, "you know and speak English thoroughly." He bowed gravely. "I thank you, my friend, for your all too flattering estimate. But yet I fear that I am but a little way on the road I would travel. True, I know the grammar and the words, but yet I know not how to speak them." "Indeed," I said, "you speak excellently." "Not so," he answered. "Well, I know that, did I move and speak in your London, none there are who would not know me for a stranger. That is not enough for me. Here I am noble. I am boyar. The common people know me, and I am master. But a stranger in a strange land, he is no one. Men know him not. And to know not is to care not. I am content if I am like the rest, so that no man stops if he sees me, or pause in his speaking if he hear my words. Ha! A stranger! I have been so long master that I would be master still, or at least that none other should be master of me.